the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are it. And Brooke, you are it.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
All right, big day. Day baseball with the Mariners this afternoon, trying to wrap up and get a sweep against the Cincinnati Reds. And, of course, we are 8 days away, 8 days a week, 8 days away from the draft. We did rank eights yesterday. Today we're 8 days away. And, Brock, that means we only have a few draft profiles left. Who do we have today?
Get me a freaking auto!
All right.
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
No, not that one.
The Seattle Seahawks.
This is Brock Heward's draft profile.
You want traits? Check. You want to vote the leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
Can you make people around you better? Can you bring people together? I do. I love it. I didn't even ask Justin Amore to make sure they get that cut of John Schneider. But man, does that resonate every single day. And today, we got the biggest, baddest dude in this draft. And Tavondre Sweat, defensive tackle, University of Texas, 6'4 and a half, 366 pounds. 6'4 and a half, 33 and a quarter inch arms, 10 and a half inch ginormous hands, and 366 pounds. And does he bring people together? Yes. Does he make people around him better? Yes. Was he the Outland Trophy Award winner this season? You bet he was. That goes to the biggest, baddest big boy on the line of scrimmage in all of college football. Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, first team All-American. So this dude played for 5 years at Texas. That's not uncommon. We've got guys that play 6 years. Cam McCormick's going to play his ninth year of college football. How? I don't know, but he is. But in 5 years of college football, here's the great thing about Tavondre Sweat. Dude was available for 62 games. He posts. He's not a big man that's got a back injury. He's not a big man that's got a hamstring injury. He's not a big man that finds a way to not play. He plays game in and game out. Now, the biggest challenge is playing play in and play out once you get beyond about four. He'll give you four really good ones. And then at 366, he's got to huff and puff his way off the field, get a little bit of oxygen, and get back on the field. 5 years, 62 games played. This year was by far the most dominant. Not just a space eater, not just at that size, taking two guys, 45 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, couple sacks, 6 batted balls, just a stat stuffer. And that's why he was the player of the year in the conference. You had to account for him. And, I had him twice this season. I had him early in the year against Rice on the field when it was 150 degrees. I had him late in the season up in Ames, Iowa. In both of those games, both offensive coordinators, Nate Shieldhouse for Iowa State, Marcus Tuiasosopo at Rice, say point blank, like, you have to have a plan. You can't just go in and run your stuff. Like, you've got to account for this guy in every single one of your run snaps. And just saying, well, we'll double team him, that's not good enough. Sometimes you got to triple team him to just move him off of his spot. And boy, he was an immovable force. Two last things. Bad news is April 7th, he got arrested for DWI. So going through the process right now, driving under the influence, DUI. So April 7th, that did happen. That's the bad news, and that was a really bad decision. The good news, Salk, is if that guy walked in the room, as enamored as you are with Jared Verse, and as much as we love Troy Fautanu, if that man walked through the door, he'd have to turn sideways, and he sat down and plopped down next to you right now, and you spent 10 minutes with him, he left the room, you would do this. You'd clap your hands.
Yep.
You'd rub it. You'd give me a little fist pump, and you're like, that's my guy. Because if you somehow blended DJ Fluker and Colin Cole together, you get Tavondre Sweat.
Oh, man.
If you blended DJ Fluker and Colin Cole together, you get Tavondre Sweat.
Because
Big Boy stepped into our meeting. I think he was the only defensive lineman we have ever talked to in a production meeting. But we were like at the end of the year, like, yep, got to talk to him. He walked into our meeting. He's so overwhelmed in that hotel in Ames, Iowa. I did one of my little instigator things that you love about me. I looked down at my board. I put my glasses on. I looked up at him. I said, so Devondre, I love to do this with players. I love to make sure my numbers are right here. I got you at 6'4.5", 325. And he said, what?
He laughed out loud.
He laughed out loud. He's like, I'm 365. Like, okay, yes, you are. I didn't even fake the funk. Like, that is who I am. Yeah. He knows exactly who he is. He makes everybody laugh. He lights up that room. He had a lot of dudes at Texas, a lot of guys on that D-line, including Byron Murphy right next to him, that were excellent players. Mm-hmm. But he was the electricity. He was the voltage. He was the one, Salk, that when I walked away from Texas games, I was like, that dude's unblockable. Like, one-on-one, you can't block him. One-on-one, you can't move him. Two-on-one, it's really hard to move, and there's a reason nobody could really run against Texas between the tackles. Devondre Sweat was that kind of building block.
Okay, where's he going to go at this point? So that is today's draft profile. It is Devondre Sweat from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a first rounder.
Not
right?
A first rounder.
Is he a second rounder? A third? I mean, the problem is you only have one pick in the third round. So mm-hmm. I know we've talked about guys that maybe you would move up for or whatever. It feels hard to
imagine.
Don't
you get a sense with all of my profiles this year, maybe more than ever before? Like, this is a draft to have between like pick 40
yes.
and 80.
It's to have a few of them.
Uh-huh. So if there has ever been a time to really leverage that 16th pick, and I'm telling you, there are going to be a couple guys that I am sure they will have a real high grade on that fall to them at 16. Can you find a way to really, really manipulate? Can you find not one team that wants to trade with you, Salk, but find two teams or three teams or four teams? Because that's when you've got the leverage to be able to say, hey, man, I got this offer here. I'm going to need two twos and a three. Or I'm going to need, you know, two twos and a five, mm-hmm. you know, so then I can take my fours and my five and come back up into that third. And so all of a sudden, maybe
twos.
Now I have three twos or, you know, two twos and two threes again. And I get four of those guys in the top 110 so I can get a bunch of these dudes I profiled. Where will he fall? Probably into that third round. Maybe late second. I don't
because
know for sure. Maybe someone
what?
Will love him. Oh,
just
how
often he can
the volume
be
of
the
plays. Yeah, yeah. Like how much can he legitimately play for us?
Yeah.
You know, and this would have been a challenge, I think, in our old Seahawks system where it was so like, okay, here's our run group. Right? Remember when Big Red and like that those big heavies came on the field, like you weren't running on them. So what did teams all do? Well, we're going to throw. When the big heavies are on the field, we're going to throw. And so when the light guys are on the field, then we're going to run it. And that can be a little bit of the challenge. Like when he's on the field, like fine, we'll just throw against him.
Yeah.
But he showed this year he's got a little more wiggle, a little more movement, a little more endurance. And I'll say one last thing. If there is a team that would be the perfect fit to grow maybe a guy that's got a little immaturity in his decision making, then maybe grow the guy in his work ethic and perseverance and endurance, Leonard Williams and Jaron Reed mm-hmm. would be a pretty good group to sandwich that guy. Right, to really grow, develop, and get the very, very most out of them. Be a pretty good fit here.
When you said the biggest of the big, I thought you were going with Mims, the big dude from Georgia. He's big.
He is a gigantic humanoid as well. Yes, he is.
Big guy.
Yeah, and actually he's one of my six final guys to
profile
here as well. So, yep. Yeah, he's a character. Like, he's just not human.
So you got
you
can't six be, left?
Yeah, something like that.
Six mm-hmm. left. So mm-hmm. one of them's got to be Jared Verse. Mm-hmm. One of them's going to be Mims. Mm-hmm. One of them's going to be Fautanu, who I don't mm-hmm. think we've done yet.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's going to be Byron Murphy.
Yep, yep. You got
and
it.
The
yep.
last one is going to be, is it going to be Johnny Newton?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Did I get it?
No. That's close.
Close. Have we done Penix?
We've not done Penix.
Is that going to be number six?
Might be.
There we go.
Did
Salky just nail all six? Six? Mm-hmm. I mean, it took seven guesses, but I feel like that's pretty good.
Let's hope you nail your race a week from tomorrow, too.
Not even worried about it.
Speed. I am speed.
Yep. That's how I'm thinking. That's how some visual. There's a lot of visualization.
But Heather blew out her hammy.
Heather blew out her hammy yesterday. Oh, yeah, boy. On the track with Cecily.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
it's a.
Oh.
I don't know what this is going to mean.
What kind of omen is that?
Not a good one, I would say. Do I need? Would a massage ahead of time help? Like, what should I do to ensure that I?
You
don't
gonna
wear?
You gonna go spandex?
Yeah, I mean under shorts, but yeah, I'm not gonna just go spandex. Although, you want to psych out Maura. What do you think would psych Maura? If I just went spandex, shorts, no shirt, what would psych Maura out more than that?
That is inappropriate.
I know, but think about it.
Well,
she
it could go one of two ways. She could either throw up Or right. She could be so disgusted be she puts nauseated. It into sprint speed no. from
it makes
a
go
jump.
Faster, yeah.
She could be nauseated and quick. I am lightning.
She could be literally vomiting on the track and think about the advantage I would have at that point. So, yeah, it's a lot of lot of mind games that are going to go into this, Maura. You just wait and see what next Thursday looks like. We'll come back with everything you need to know. We've got Ranked coming up. It's Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
The Mariners, Brock, have won a series. I know, it's crazy. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting, but finally they get that done. Logan Gilbert was probably the biggest difference maker yesterday. He was tremendous. Scott Servais loved it.
With Logan's preparation, spending a little time with him this offseason, seeing where he was at in spring training, he's always trying to get better. And for me, that's the epitome of what we're about. You know, you hear me talk about it all the time. It doesn't matter, just get better. And that is Logan Gilbert. He's going to find a way to continue to get better, whether it's add a new pitch, get more consistent in the strike zone, quicken up his delivery to the plate so he's not as easy to steal bases on. All the little things you need to do to be a top-end starter in this league, Logan's willing to do it. He's willing to put the time and energy in to get better, even when it's uncomfortable.
So there were some areas, I think, this season, and Divish hit on it last hour, that have been a surprise to all of us. I think seeing Cal and JP and Julio all together, you know, struggle the way they have out the gate here the first 3 weeks. That's been a surprise. You know, one of the things we talked about, though, with Logan is it just felt different this year. It just felt like, man, he is just a grown man. He is just fully physically just mature. Why everything, maturity, just grown into his frame, into his game. And, man, he has come out in three of his four starts and been absolutely nails. Actually, eighth in all of baseball right now. A whip right now. It's 0.78. Mm-hmm. Not walking people, not gifting people, and then just bringing that filthy splitter, too, to combine with everything else. Just been a weapon.
And then when you're getting yourself in a little bit of trouble and relievers come in, try to help you out, don't worry. There's one guy out there who's exactly what you need patrolling center field.
The payoff pitch. Swinging his clock to the gap in left center field. Julio tracking it, racing back, nearing the wall. He reaches up with a leap, and he makes the catch. Julio almost overran it. He flashes the no-fly zone, and Julio Rodriguez robs Spencer Steer of extra bases in the gap in left center field.
So I've told this story before. You've forgotten it. It's super disappointing, but it's our memory. I mean, it's what happens as you and I are 48 and 45. You don't remember everything. You and I were at a training camp with the Seattle Seahawks when Cam Chancellor was in his prime. We were standing there talking to Dave Pearson, and Cam Chancellor came out of center field, and there was like a wheel route right in front of us, and you could feel his force. NFL scouts call it speed to power, and you're thinking, oh, good Lord. If this were a football game and that freight train was going to hit that person right in front of us, parts were going to fly everywhere. When Julio comes out of center field, it is Cam Chancellor-esque. It is that same kind of speed to power. You know, Divish was talking about it last hour as well, that when you watch it, it's a flash. Yeah. And he's doing it at 230-plus
It's really
pounds.
Amazing. Heck of a game for him. Even without using the bat much, he was finding a way to influence the outcome of that game, and he gets it done. So now, Mariners back to it today, 110 start, and looking for seven straight quality starts. Bryce Miller is going for his third in a row, and that would be a sweep if they are able to get it over the Reds.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
The draft is looming, Brock. It is coming up closer and closer. 8 days away, a week from tomorrow. And I did write about it last night. I am starting to, after going through all of these names and learning about all of these players and reading through all of these mocks, they should draft Troy Faltano.
Who I think we're going to talk to, by the way.
That would be great.
Yep. We're going to talk to either Friday or early next week, talking to his agent here. We'll get that done.
I secretly want them to take Jared Verse.
Yeah. You know what I realize? I got it pretty darn good. I got a lot of things really, really good in my life.
Okay.
And these draft profiles, I got really good because I just get to brag about these guys. I get to talk about them. I don't have to pick them. I don't have to select them. I don't know some of the warts behind the scenes with some of them. I just like
to. What's wrong with Jared Verse?
What's wrong with Jared Verse?
Why would he even be available at 16?
because of the three generational receivers, possibly six quarterbacks, a couple generational offensive tackles. So just, I think, some of the premium generational talent that is at those positions in this draft.
And he's not generational necessarily.
Correct. If this were like a normal draft where you didn't have three generational receivers, you didn't have four, you know, franchise, maybe five, six, you didn't have a generational offensive tackle or two, right? So this is just a market condition for him. If this were a normal draft, he'd be taken in the top eight, no question about it.
Mm. Well, then that's who I want. Okay. That's just who I want. I'm sorry. I want Jared Verse. I know that I should want something else, and I'll be fine. Obviously excited if it's Troy Fautanu, if it's Byron Murphy, heck, if it's Michael Penix. But in my heart of hearts, if I have to really be honest with you, Jared Verse is what I kind of hope they do in the draft.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Oh, man, the Kraken keep losing, and they may lose off the ice as well. As it sounds like John Forslund may be the next guy out of here. Such a bummer. Longtime Bruins announcer Jack Edwards is retiring, and John Forslund from Western Mass.
Talk to John. You can't ever go home. Tell him. John, it's not like it used to be.
He could.
It's not like
he
it
could
used
go
to be.
Home.
I went back to Boston. It's not like it
he
used
could
to
go
be.
Home and be just fine. He really could be. And he'd be replacing a legend. Jack is a legend in his own right, and they don't do it the same way. But he would be a perfect fit there. He would be tremendous. He's That's great wherever he would go. We got a text from somebody earlier who said, hey, is there anybody on the team we could give up in order to keep him? Like, could you give up a player in order to keep Forslund? And I'm like, yeah, there's most of the players on the team I think I'd be willing to give up, because Forslund truly does affect my enjoyment of every game. I really have enjoyed him this year.
He's that good.
The last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, there you go. That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show.
Oh, and 2.4 million people watch the WNBA draft. The WNBA draft.
Isn't that amazing?
More than any WNBA game played. So I know Diana Taurasi and some of the vets, and they're salty and everything else. But my goodness gracious, now this isn't Caitlin Clark at Iowa. Now this is your brand.
Right.
This is your league. You want to create revenue? You want to grow the salaries? I saw that was a big hubbub about all of that.
Yep.
You want to grow all of that? Grow your ratings. Grow your revenue. And guess what you'll get? Much, much, much bigger salaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get it, you know, and I love some of the friction, and I love the competitiveness, and I love, you know, these vets that are going to absolutely give Caitlin the business and try to just run her into the wall. And I love it, and I'm here for it. It'll be awesome. But also understand now the impact her brand is having on your league.
What is the last sports story that you can think of like this that just captured you?
I mean, Tiger was a lot like this.
Okay.
Tiger with golf, right? I mean,
so you're talking 25 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
A little more than that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little more than 25 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been about 25 years since something new arrived that got people excited.
I mean, Golden State and Steph Curry and sharing the ball, and that was super fun.
It didn't get
fun.
Me at all.
I know, it didn't move your needle. I mean, that was pretty fun. The NFL, Tom Brady with wearing a backpack 25 years ago, six-round pick, all of that, building the dynasty. You know, all of those things, but it's such a collection of teams.
You were already into the NFL.
Correct.
I mean, like, it's not like all of a sudden you discovered the NFL.
Correct.
A lot of people discovered golf when Tiger Woods did his thing.
The Olympics will come around, and you'll have an athlete that'll just, Simone Biles, that will just overwhelm you. But
comes and goes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's different. The thing that makes Tiger unique on that list is he turned people onto golf for the first time.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're seeing here is people being turned on to women's basketball really for the first time. And what's interesting is when Tiger did it, he really did it by himself. Right. Mm-hmm. There was nobody else new or interesting in the golf world at that time. Tiger showed
Not
up.
Like him.
Phil was kind of there a few years later. All right.
Yep.
Phil kind of.
Yep.
But what is interesting about the Caitlin Clark effect is while she may be Tiger Woods, it's almost more like things were, I don't know, half a generation later, because the other gals who were competing for attention right now are all interesting as well. They may not be Caitlin Clark level.
And amazing players, by the way. Amazing players.
It would be like if Tiger showed up, but at the same time you had Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, and you're like, all right, this guy's unique and different and crazy, but look at all these other people who were right around him. So I am really pumped about the story. Every day I find myself thinking about it for at least a little while and can't wait to go see it May 22nd when the Fever are here to take on the Storm. We'll come right back. We got one last thing left to do. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
wrap up the Brock and Salk show here on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com, and the Seattle Sports app as well. Ranked coming up in, 12 minutes or so from now. Brock, it was nice to see the Mariners finally win a series, honestly. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to, you had to see it with your own eyes. I understand, and we had all these conversations about, is it early, is it not early, what does that really mean? You weren't here on Friday when I had to argue with G about it, even though I didn't really want to, and like what that means to be early. And I just
did it get borderline hostile between you two?
Not really. No, it didn't get hostile.
I was getting texts like, oh, stop
it. No, it didn't get hostile. No, there was nothing hostile about it. Just two people just looking at the world differently. And I just kept saying, look, when I say it's early, I'm not saying everything's okay. I'm not saying it's fine. I'm not saying it's okay for the team to look bad. I'm saying that it's not a predictor of what's going to happen in the future, and that baseball's played over 162, not 10, for a reason. Mm-hmm. And G's response is, you're being a baseball elitist. And he might be right. Maybe I am. I would just say I'm a baseball fan, somebody who's watched the game more than five times in the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so when you watch baseball a lot, you know that there are ups and downs. After starting this year on a pretty significant down, thankfully, they've started to bring it back closer to what they are supposed to be. Is it perfect? No. Right? I mean, still, the number of chances that they were unable to capitalize on yesterday
was significant. Well, 12 men left on base. Yeah, 12 left on base, one of seven with runners in scoring position. At any point, you felt like, okay, you get a big hit here, you put one in the gap, you give Logan, with the way Logan was going, you give him three, four, five runs, yeah, you're going to put the Reds night-night like you did the night before in a very convincing way.
But
it didn't happen. But it didn't happen. Yeah, and credit to, Green's got some nasty stuff and bases loaded. He's able to get Mitch and 98 and 98 on the corners and, some tough pitching. But you kind of wore him down. You got him out of the game, and the strength of your team showed up. Your pitching and your unbelievable center fielder. I don't know about outs above average or where he ranks right now, but over the course of these 18 games, Salk, and we've seen some good center fielders. Mm-hmm. Kiermaier out there in Toronto is unbelievable. But Julio with his arm, Julio with his legs, Julio with his range, Julio just being in that no-fly zone has greatly, greatly impacted the game.
Yeah,
that
he
position.
Did a little of everything yesterday. It's interesting. I mean, obviously what he did in the field was tremendous, and you saw him make two really nice catches on balls that hung up for him. Obviously the throw to Peg De La Cruz at third base, and the fact that the great genius, Jake Fraley, was unable to continue running all the way home. I mean, those were standout plays, but it was kind of a little bit of everything.
It's been awesome to watch. I know he's got a goal of getting gold on his glove. Not easy to do. There's some good center fielders in this league, but I have nights like tonight. I know they have the stat, the defensive runs saved. I don't know how many runs he saved tonight, but it seemed like four or five of them to me. So heck of a game, with the range he shows out there. His closing speed, when you're down on the field and you can see the ball in the air and it's just hanging there, and him closing on it, it's pretty cool to watch. And again, the throw, it's one thing to track it down. It's another thing, he's got all the tools, and then following up with that throw tonight, a big part in the game, was just huge.
And so we talk about it all the time, right? When you're struggling at the plate, don't bring your struggles into the field. And good on him, he didn't do that at all, and really made three very special plays in that game. But it wasn't just that. Well, I mean, we were saying this yesterday. If the Mariners want to win, JP's got to get on base, Julio's got to be Julio, and the starting pitching has to be the starting pitching. Mm-hmm. Well, look at how they win yesterday. Obviously, what you got from Gilbert, 6 2/3, three hits, one run. He was tremendous. Top of the order, JP, is on base twice, right? Two hits in the game, no walks, but he probably could have had one. He kind of had an at-bat taken away from him on a lousy call. But JP, couple of hits. Julio, couple of hits. Haniger, on base twice. Cal Raleigh, on base twice. Garver finally contributing. He gets on base once and scores one. Like, you need to turn things over a little bit, and they started doing that by taking enough pitches.
Yeah, you said early on, like 4 or 5 years ago, when the Kraken, we found out we're going to get a hockey team, and you said you don't even have to know hockey, like all the details. If you just watch it enough, you'll start to get a feel. You'll start to get a feel for the movement of people, and you'll start to get a feel for just how they cover the ice, and you'll start to get a little bit of a feel for, ooh, here it comes, right? Here comes enough movement. Here come enough bodies. Here comes a shot on goal. Like, you don't need to know all the details. You just need to watch it enough. Mm-hmm. And I think similarly with this baseball team, and I love what Divish said about Scott. Scott doesn't change. Scott's unwavering, you know, and it's a tremendous strength. I know it gets frustrating to some of you in the audience. I get it. You want a blow up. You want him to lose it, but he is steady Eddie. And when his teams are going, they do what they did last night. They just pressure. You know, you make it hard. You pressurize. It didn't show up in the third inning. It didn't. You got a zero in the third inning. But those 39 pitches you forced, those at bats that got to full counts and you wasted pitches and you eventually for JP flipped one the other way and you got on base and you just wore that guy out. Guess what? The next inning, that paid dividends. Those are the body blows. Right, those were the early shots in the early rounds that eventually pay dividends and knock that starter out of the game in the fourth inning. So then you can get to a little bit lesser talent, mm-hmm. and then a former Mariner and Emilio Pagan, that you know doesn't have the control, doesn't have the stuff, and you put across a couple runs and you find a way. That Scott's team be hard to play against. And offensively, if you're not hitting bombs, and a lot of them aren't right now, then you better pressurize your opponent. And they've done that these last couple games, the best they have over the first 18.
Yeah, and bringing up a Class A does help with that. It's an interesting move, and Ryan gave a great answer on it when we talked to him an hour ago, and I totally agree with it. You look at the Mariners, and when you were watching them at spring training, when you're rolling out Julio and Dylan Moore and Sam Haggerty and Samad Taylor and some of the young kids, Colt Emerson and Cole Bliss. Young and mm-hmm. Ryan Bliss and Jonathan Classe and Harry a few Ford. Others, Harry Ford, you're like, man, this is a really athletic team.
Yep.
And then you come north and Taylor Trammell at that point, you come Kate Marlowe at that point, right? Then you come yeah. north and you're like, ooh, hold on a second. Dylan Moore's the only one of those guys in Julio that are on this team. Mm-hmm. Samad Taylor is back down in AAA, and Ryan Bliss is in AAA, and all those kids are in single A, yep. and Cade Marlowe is not there. I mean, like, all of a sudden, yeah. you go from
you
being
lose
a team
that athleticism.
Yeah, and Caballero is no longer here, and it's just, it's not quite the same as it was a couple of years ago when you had guys who could run all over the place, and instead, Haniger's an older player who's not going to steal a lot of bags, certainly, and his speed is not mm-hmm. where it once was. Canzone's not a real runner like Kelnick would have been a year ago where he could actually run around a little bit, and Polanco's not going to run like some other guys who might play second base, right? Mm-hmm. Crawford's not a runner, certainly not at this stage of his career, and so it really becomes essentially Dylan Moore and like kind of Luke Rayleigh and Julio.
Yeah,
that's it. That's your athleticism on this team. You're seeing it show up a little bit defensively, but it's true in the bases as well. So when they had an opportunity to call somebody up for Canzone, yeah, maybe it shouldn't have been that surprising that Scott and Jerry put their heads together and said, and Justin, and said, "Hey, let's get a little athleticism up here. Let's get a guy who can really run even yeah. more than Marlowe, even more than Ryan Bliss, and he's going to play left field and give him a shot and let's see what he's got."
Yeah, I found it.
I like it.
I do too, and it was a little telling there, and I appreciate the insight from Ryan Divish. Kind of reminded me, made me think of the Husky football season. People don't know this, but for most of the year, Dylan Morris was dealing with an elbow issue that limited his practice time. And Austin Mack practiced a bunch, and there were a bunch of games second half of the year. If Michael Penix would have gotten an AC joint and was out for four or five games, you know who was going in? Not Dylan Morris. It would have been Austin Mack. Hmm. If it was a series and the wind got knocked out of you, Dylan could go in and manage that. But there's a similar parallel here. If this was a 2 or 3 day injury with Dom Canzone, it would have been Samad Taylor, like it was the first time around when there was an injury. But because this is going to be a month, and because you want to see what this kid can do, right? You want to see, and he's got a plus-plus skill. It's not Samad Taylor, who's you know got a whole lot more of a resume and a book and some years behind him. Let's see what this Class A kid can do. And for him, what an opportunity.
Right.
You know, if he gets 4 weeks, Salk, and he outplays Luke Rayleigh, guess what? I don't think there's any guarantee for Luke Rayleigh on this roster all season long, right? And, you know, Ryan actually said he puts the ball in play. That's going to be, to me, the one watch. Luke Arkin said, looking back on his minor league stats the last couple of years, 27% strikeout rate, 28% strikeout rate. Major league average is about 22.5, which mm-hmm. is where he was this year, just in the first, you know, couple of weeks down there in Tacoma. So if he can put that ball in play and we can feel some of those wheels, hey, man, what a heck of an opportunity for him, right? We've been bragging about this farm system. We've been bragging about what's to come. And a lot of them are much, much younger, as you said, in single A. That's where, you know, the Emersons are. But, you know, this was a guy last year that had a dynamic year in Class A. And he's going to get a great, great shot here for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
I think that's very well said. So, look, there's some fun little things there. The thing that they did, though, and I started off the show 3.5 hours ago on this. Yes, got to have the starting pitching. You're worthless without it. Yes, you need Julio to be Julio. But you also got to find ways to work counts. You cannot allow starting pitchers to go 7-8 innings yep. every time.
Yep.
And twice over the last two games, they've taken very good pitchers with really good stuff. Now, granted, Montas did not have his best stuff on Monday, but they did what you're supposed to do. They allowed him to walk people, and then mm-hmm. they hit bombs. Yep. And then the next day, where Hunter Green came in, and that guy's filthy, right? I mean, he's like just another one of these flame-throwing kids that'll yeah. probably have Tommy John surgery in the next 2 years. But for yep. now, he's throwing 98 miles an hour with a ridiculous slider. And then you know yep. what they did? They made him throw 1,000 pitches early, mm-hmm. and he's out of the game by the fourth inning. That is yep. how you win a game against a guy who's got great stuff.
And
that's a huge, yep. huge team effort.
Yes.
But specifically, Julio and JP at the top of the lineup, they both yep. saw, what was it, 27 and 28 pitches apiece?
Yep.
Yeah, that's how you win a ball game.
And then it should pay dividends today,
sure.
right? Now you got a good lefty, and their guys had 3 good starts, and he's a good pitcher. But man, if you can do the same today, guess what? That bullpen is thin, because that bullpen has been used a lot. It's had to cover 5 innings last night, and what, 6 7. Innings the night before, 7. So yeah, they've had to cover a lot, and this is, you know, where you. Boy, you do the work early, put that hay in the barn as far as all that work. Would love to pay it off today with a sweep
mm-hmm.
and get to 9-10. And who knows, maybe atop the division if the Rangers end up losing.
That would be pretty nice. We'll see. Yeah, kind of crazy. You could be in first place by the end of the day today. Just a lot of oddity here and a lot of shuffling up and down at the beginning of a baseball season. All right, let's finish this thing up with ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwanfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, Brock, today we are ranking. Since Heather hurt her hamstring and everyone is so convinced that I'm going to hurt my hamstring when I beat Maura in this race here next week, I thought that I would rank Hurts today. Justin, I did a little Hurts ranking.
Yeah.
Like H-E-R-T-Z, like the rental car? Or?
Well, that's one
that's
of the things
pretty good
we honorable
mention.
Yeah, that's an honorable
you're
mention.
You see, Brock's Hurts. Getting it, Maura.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
See what we're doing
uh-huh.
here?
Or like
uh-huh.
megahertz.
Like a megahertz.
Right.
Uh-huh. Frequencies, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know about megahertz, right?
Yeah, sure.
Or like William Hurt, longtime actor,
mm-hmm.
who's in a really cool movie called Dark City. You ever seen Dark City?
No, that sounds. So is it like part cartoon? Like is
no,
it
no.
CG? Okay,
no, it's him and Jennifer Connelly and Kiefer Sutherland.
Which one am I thinking
so
of?
How many,
so good.
How many movies do you think you've watched in your life?
Don't know. I'm not like a huge movie guy. I don't watch that many. I almost never watch movies now.
When you were younger, you were.
Yeah, I watched them then, but not more than most people.
No.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge movie guy.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Clint Hurt.
He's always been a really bright kid and understanding the scheme. But the thing that he brings us is his energy, his competitiveness.
Yeah, he's not around anymore.
I mean,
what you say?
What he did to his suit jackets. And heck, when he did that Uchenna Nwosu throwback jersey.
Right.
He puts a hurt on clothing because his shoulders and girth are just.
Pretty intense.
Wide. He is
very
wide.
Intense.
He is so wide.
Sure. We got this one for you, Brock.
What hurts the most was being so.
Some Rascal Flatts for you.
I got a guilty pleasure. I'll admit it. I actually like that song.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a big sorry. Rascal Flatts person, but I like that song.
Yeah, me too.
Good.
I was wondering why I was singing along to it earlier, and then I was like, oh, I've seen that yeah. a bunch because I worked at a restaurant with the girl that was in the music video.
Oh,
really? Is she famous?
Crystal.
What else has she been in?
She was like a struggling actor in LA for a while and then moved back to Colorado to wait tables like me.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I did that with modeling. Welcome.
Bonding moment.
One of us.
Johnny!
The Charlie kid is so funny.
Pretty famous hurt. That kid's like 25 now.
Is he really?
I think so.
I wish you wouldn't tell me that.
Ooh.
Don't tell me things like that. How about Hurdy Gurdy Man? Such a dumb song.
It's a great song.
I thought you guys made that up earlier.
No, that's Donovan.
No.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the movie Zodiac.
Didn't
is
he also sing...
Is that The Doors?
No, that's
that?
Donovan. Not he also guess, sang though. Mellow Yellow. You know that song?
They call me Mellow Yellow.
Quite rightly. Yeah, same guy. It's Donovan. Let's see, we get some Lizzo. No man on a Minnesota Viking. Look at this song. True hurts me. Truth Hurts, Brock. Uh-huh. I'm sure you were ready for that one.
Not top five. I expected you to keep
it
in.
It's a good one. Jalen Hurts.
Has all day.
Yep.
Loaded up. Taking a shot. Looking for A.J. Brown. He's got it.
Yep.
Touchdown.
There you go. There's some Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Of course, Brock, I know you know all about Bosnia Herzegovina.
Come again?
Bosnia Herzegovina.
Brock's traveled there a few times.
You've been there, right?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
All right. Near Croatia, where Nika Mule is from.
Sure.
Or Salt can't get a flight to.
Seriously. Just can't get there. It's very hard. Just unfortunately can't find my way there. I keep trying. Let's see. I'll let people know that I do know about this, even though it's the worst song ever.
Oh, is that going to be more a celebration song when she beats you?
It could be. I'll be heard if that's the case. That's for sure. And then this one did not quite make the top five. I know this will be disappointing. Nine Inch Nails hurt.
Really?
Yeah, didn't make it. Nor did Love Hurts from Incubus.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't.
That one wasn't going to make it either. Sorry.
Good album, though.
The Hurt Locker, good movie. You ready for the top five, though?
I am.
All right. Number five, Brock. Let's go with a Hall of Famer.
He said, uh-oh. Way back. Giles looks up. You can put it on the board. Yeah.
The Big Hurt, Frank Thomas.
He was fun. Wasn't he fun? Just a fun factor to his game.
So I think I've told this before. Years ago when I was in an elevator at Fenway working, like went to get into the elevator, Frank Thomas was in the elevator.
Yeah.
He took up the entire
doorway.
No one
else could get in.
He is truly the biggest non-football player I've ever seen.
I'd like to see him and Clint Hurt side by side. He's got bigger
shoulders.
Well,
he's different than Hurt. He's not quite as like wide, I guess, but just the height that he brings with the size and the girth and the presence. Yeah. Frank is enormous.
Are you going to take some of his Nugenics this week? Get ready for the race?
No.
Good question.
Okay.
Good question.
A real
he did
good
ask
question,
earlier
though.
If he was going to get a nap before the race, and we said no. And
this feels like cheating.
Something.
Let's do it on a weekend where I can get enough sleep.
Nope.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that feels like cheating. I didn't sign up for that. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Anyway, Frank Thomas, number five, The Big Hurt. Number four. Give me a sign. What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. You give me 100 guesses, I'm not telling you who sings that.
That's true. Is that in...
Night at the Roxbury.
Night at the Roxbury? That's the song for that, right? That why everybody automatically starts tapping their heads to the side? Like, you can't help it?
Yep. By?
Who sang that?
Hathaway. That's famous Hathaway.
Who is Hathaway?
Yes, we were looking for Hathaway.
Hathaway.
Okay, that was number...
That's number four. Hurts ranked. Number three.
I hurt myself today.
Nine Inch Nails didn't make it, but the cover by Johnny Cash going to be top five. It's so good.
Yeah, it means more.
It's really great.
Yeah, it's sad. The video's great.
Plus, it's just cool that he covered Nine Inch Nails. Like, everything about it is cool.
I know what one of the top two is.
Yeah?
I know you, so.
You know me?
I know you. Yes, I do.
Do you? Mm-hmm. I hope I got this right. I hope that there's something we didn't forget about, Justin. That'll be really disappointing.
Me too.
All right. What was that? Number three? We only have two left to go. Number two, Hurts ranked.
Hurts so good. Come on, baby. Make it hurt so good. Sometimes love. Is that John Cougar?
Sure is.
Did you see him going viral yesterday?
I did see that.
What'd he do?
Booed off his stage.
He was like talking in between songs, and somebody goes, "Just play some music."
Yeah, he was talking Biden, and his audience didn't like it. And and they told him to play some music, and he just went all pissy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he started Jack and Diane, and then just like, you know what, I'm done. Walked off the stage.
Was he wearing a romper?
It kind of looked like a jumpsuit. Yeah,
horrible.
He looks like he's had some work done.
Yeah,
right in the face.
Yeah, he's a feisty sucker.
I mean, he was John Cougar, and then he hated being John Cougar.
Yeah, John, don't call me Cougar Mellencamp.
Right, then he became John Cougar Mellencamp, and then finally he's like, I'm ditching that Cougar
Salt thing knows this story, and I'll say it really quickly, but when I was an Indy Hunter, our long snapper, Mike Vanderjack, went to an auction, and there was a John Cougar Mellencamp guitar being auctioned off, and John Cougar was there. And they went up to try to get him an autograph, and he was like, yeah, that's going to happen.
I do know that story.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, you jerk. Yeah.
Jeez.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Time at an auction?
Yeah.
I don't think I did know that
story. You didn't know that? Oh, yeah.
No.
Justin Snow, long snapper, three of them. You won't believe what happened. Because, of course, I shared lockers with those three. I couldn't be by Peyton on Park Avenue.
That's funny.
Yeah. And they're like, you won't believe this.
John Mellencamp
just stiffed us.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
thanks, but no.
All right, number one.
Number one.
What?
Whoa.
Oh. Nazareth.
You left out the one that I thought was going to be number one.
Yeah. You left off one of your great rants of all time for 15 years.
Oh, well, I did. Well, yeah, there's a couple things. Yeah, I forgot about that. My elbow hurts like LeBron.
Yes.
Ah, that's true. Forgot about Bruce.
Not even an honorable mention?
That's true. No.
What?
You know what else could have made this list, Brock, is a Hertz donut. You know what a Hertz donut is?
I don't.
It's when it hurts, don't it?
My elbow hurts like LeBron.
I'm aching all over my body. Head to toe. Oh, Bruce, we miss you. All right, there you go.
You're saving the Hertz donut for number one.
No, the Hertz donut is not number one. No, Nazareth had to be there as number one. Sorry.
Do you guys even do you really want to hurt me?
Huh?
Do you really want to hurt me?
No, we forgot that one.
The Cure? Really?
The Cure.
Thanks for helping out, Maura. Thanks.
Where were you 3.5 hours ago?
I like it from The Wedding Singer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for helping out. I like Love Hurts from Days of Confused. All right, we got to go. We'll be back tomorrow morning, I think.
Booger McFarland tomorrow talking big people.
Is that true?
Yep, talking line screaming.
Think
tomorrow.
He'll remember you tomorrow?
Yeah.
No, will he remember being mean to you?
We can only hope. We'll see you guys at 6 a.m. Maybe the Mariners will be in first place. Who knows? Till then, the hay.
Barn.
Man, that hurts. See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!